Well, good evening and welcome to another Bible study on the Nines this Thursday evening. We're going through the key verses of the New Testament, and we are already on Ephesians. We've looked at the key verses of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, and we're seeing that great theme of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. We're seeing him throughout all these verses. So we get to the book of Ephesians, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. This book of the Bible was a circular letter. It was written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Christians of the Lycus River Valley. There in the Lycus River Valley, you would find the city of Ephesus, which was the port city in Asia Minor, then Laodicea and Colossae and Hierapolis, a big metropolitan area there. Paul wrote this letter while in prison in Rome around AD 61 to 64, and it's part of what's called the prison epistles. He also wrote Colossians and Philippians and Philemon during this time while in prison. And if you know anything about Roman prisons, they were dark, they were depressing, they were no fun. I got to think about Paul's mentality. He was maybe chained to a Roman soldier. He felt like that he was not being used by God like he felt like he should due to his circumstances. But he said, you know what, I can still write letters to these churches and encourage them. So the topic of this book of the Bible is building the body of Christ. The theme is the believer's responsibility to walk in accordance with his heavenly calling in Jesus Christ. And the purpose, to make believers more aware of what is true because they are in Christ, and to encourage the body of Christ to mature in him. So Paul's purpose for writing the book of Ephesians is to call Christians back to their baptismal commitment to Christ. You see that theme there in Ephesians chapter 2. You also see the fact that he's clarifying the character of the church as the body of Christ. You see that theme in chapter 1. And to instruct the church on the character of Christian maturity there in chapter 4. He divides this letter, and we can divide this letter, into two parts. The first part is contained in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of six chapters, and it talks about the position of the Christian. Chapter 1 tells us that we are eternally rich in Christ. Chapter 2 tells us that we were once dead, now alive, because of what Christ did. And in chapter 3 is our responsibility in light of what Christ did. Part 2, if part 1 is the position of the Christian, part 2 is contained in chapters 4, 5, and 6, and it talks about the practice of the Christian. And it's interesting in this section, I call this the walks of Ephesians, because six times Paul talks about our walk. He tells us to walk worthy, walk not as other Gentiles, walk in love, walk as children of light, walk circumspectly, walk in submission. And then he finalizes it up there in chapter 6 and tells us that we are in a spiritual warfare, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, taking upon us the armor of God. There's some good stuff in Ephesians. So we get to our key verse, and that of verses 8, 9, and 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. But what I want to do to keep it in context, I want to read for you chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is really good doctrinal stuff here. And I'm going to break down this key verse in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Let's read this together. Oh, I love this. This is good. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God. You know what? A lot of good stuff happens in our life because of that. Those two words, but God. This is what we were, but here I am now, but God. Look on here in verse 4, who is rich in mercy, but God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Hey, by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now we get to the key verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Whoa, what a text. This is what I was, but God, this is who I am now, because by grace you're saved through faith. So it amplifies that statement that he made already in verse 5, by grace you're saved. But this verse, this key verse, can be simplified into this statement. The believer in Christ is a product of God, saved by grace through faith. The believer in Christ is a product of God, saved by grace through faith. There's nothing more assuring and comforting than that phrase right there, my friend. So let's look at some things about this key verse. Number one, I see in this verse the salvation of God. The salvation of God. Verse 8 says, by grace ye have been saved through faith. Saved by grace through faith. The salvation of God by grace. Hey, salvation, my salvation. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you have been saved. Salvation is by the grace of God. That is something he did that I did not deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. But God in his grace did not choose not to give me what I deserve, because he loved us so much he sent Christ to die for us. That was his grace. Grace means salvation, completely apart from anything that I could do, anything that you could do, no merit, no works on our part. Hey, I've sinned. There's nothing I can do. It's all what he did on the cross. Grace means that God did it all for Jesus' sake. Our salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is not it's not a reward. It's a gift. Grace is the cause for the total plan of God. It's all by grace. When you can wrap your mind around the concept of grace, it'll overwhelm you how much God loves you. By grace through faith. The idea of faith, reliance upon Christ for salvation, persuaded. Pistis is the Greek word for that. The just shall live by faith. Hey, faith in the sacrifice of Christ for my sins. Repentance, I have to acknowledge myself as a sinner and repent. And faith, that is the grace of God. On one hand, grace is the objective instrumental cause of salvation. On the other hand, faith is the subjective medium for the process of salvation. So it's a necessary condition. You have to have grace and faith. If grace is what God deposited to you, faith is the way you make a withdrawal. I like it. Quote, Dr. Tony Evans said that. If grace is what God deposited for you, faith is the way to make the withdrawal. It's the means of withdrawing God's grace so that it's made manifest in history. The salvation of God, saved by grace through faith. Let's move on. Number two, it is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Saved not by yourself or by works. There in verse 8 it says, it is the gift of God, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's not by yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. It is the gift of God. That's what he's saying there in verse 8 and 9. You can't save yourself. You must accept Christ. It's not what we have done, but what he did at Calvary. I can't begin to tell you the times that I've witnessed the people and told them about Christ through the years. And they'll say, hey, what do I have to do? 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 And I said, it's nothing that you do. It's accepting what he's done for you at Calvary. I think in our American mentality, we work hard to achieve things, which is a very honorable thing. I think we take that same attitude into this life of faith, and it's a little bit radical in how we think. Grace is God's gift. Salvation by grace through faith is God's gift. It's received. It's not earned. It's a free gift from God. Hey, I think about Christmas morning. If any of you got young kids, I love Christmas morning with my kids. I can't wait till they wake up and they come down the stairs and they're excited. And there are gifts for them on Christmas morning. All right? They didn't do anything to deserve those gifts. I, as their father and their mother, we got together and we gave them gifts. And they're so happy. No kid, okay, no kid, when given a gift, is going to say, hey, I don't want that gift. What do I have to do to get? They're just going to take the gift and open it up. Just think about that. The free gift from God is salvation. The whole process of salvation is just a simple gift from God. We complicate it too much. One cannot be saved apart from the power of God. It's the gift of God that refers to the whole process of salvation, not just to the grain of faith to believe, because works cannot save you. Because if works saved you, if works saved me, then I would boast about what I have done. And that's pride, which is the root of sin. There is no possibility of self-achieved salvation. There's no reason for boasting in this type of salvation because it's all what God has done. All the good works in this world are not enough to save for pride reasons. Only the blood of Christ is sufficient. See, if I'm going by my works, I'm still going to mess up. I'm still going to make a mistake when I'm not expecting to. Since we have not been saved by our good works, we cannot be lost by our bad works. Salvation cannot be of works because the work of salvation is already being completed on the cross. Because if I'm being saved by works, then I'm going to do something to lose my salvation. And that's not even in the Bible. This is the work that God does for us, and it's a finished work. When he said from the cross in John 17, it is finished. It's a finished work. You can add nothing to it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. And we dare take nothing from it or complicate it. We're not going to be strutting around based on what we did. There's nothing to be arrogant about here. You will only be able to brag about the magnificent grace of God. Hey, you are saved by grace through faith. That leads me to my third point there in verse 10, the workmanship of God. It says here, we are created, we are his workmanship, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, many times we put the cart before the horse. We think our works somehow earns our salvation. That's not true. You just have a bunch of unsaved people in your church just doing work, good works. And it causes conflict and disharmony. I can go on and on. What I'm saying is you must be born again. Salvation by grace through faith and then the works accompanying that. I am his workmanship. You are his workmanship if you are in Christ. The Greek word for workmanship is the word we derive the word poem. It means that which is made a manufactured product. In other words, our conversion is not the end. Hey, it's just the beginning. We are part of God's new creation. Remember the key verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And God continues to work in us to make us what he wants us to be. His purpose is to make us more like Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. How does God work in us? Through his Holy Spirit, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Hey, Christ finished the work of redemption at Calvary's cross, but he arose from the dead and resurrected, and he ascended and returned to heaven. There he carries out his unfinished work of perfecting the church. Ephesians chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 13. And to do this, he uses the tools of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He uses the tool of prayer. Ephesians 3:20 through 21. He uses a tool of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. As we read God's word and we understand it and we meditate on it and we feed on it and we grow in it, the word goes to work in our hearts and our lives to cleanse us and nourish us and renew our minds. And as we pray, God's Spirit works in us to release power because we are dependent and we're surrendered upon him. And as we suffer, at times the Spirit of God ministers to us. Suffering drives us back to the Word of God in prayer, and the cycle is repeated. So I am created. I am his workmanship. He's using those tools to perfect me and to perfect you to make us more like Jesus Christ each and every day. We are his workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. There's a difference. It's not enough to say we have faith. It must be demonstrated by works, James tells us. I thought about this when it comes to good works. A good work, according to Matthew 5:16, is a divinely prescribed action that benefits others in such a way God is glorified. And if you contrast Ephesians 2:10 with Ephesians 2:2, you will see that the unbeliever has Satan working in him, and therefore his works are not good. But the believer has God working in him, and therefore his works are good. His works are not good because he himself is good. We're not good, but because he has a new nature. from God, and because the Holy Spirit works in him and through him to produce these good works. Remember what Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We do not manufacture these works. They are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. God saved you for his purposes and his pleasure. Many believers are unfulfilled and miserable because they've never gotten around to do the work God has for them. And when you understand the grace by which God saved you through faith, gratitude will drive your response to doing things for him. And let me illustrate this real fast before I go on in this verse. Before kids came, I had a little bit more time for hobbies. And one of my hobbies was taking old wood. I would find old wood. And the trick was to take that old wood and try to craft something with that old wood, to try to take that old wood and create something new with that old wood without the temptation to go to Lowe's and get more wood. All right, so I've built a coffee table, a headboard for a bed, taking just old wood, most of it pallet wood. But it's kind of a cool thing to do because you're creating something new from something old. And I thought about the illustration when it says that we are his workmanship. Those old pieces of wood, I was taking it and it was my workmanship and I was creating something new from that. So think about this. We're that old piece of wood. We're broken. We're bruised. We're battered. We're hurt by this world because there's nothing good in us. There's nothing righteous. No, not one. And then Christ came and quickened us and made us alive when we accepted him as Savior. And God takes us. And not only is he building a church with redeemed, broken people, he's building a church, but he's also working in us or workmanship into something new, something really cool. And one day when we get to heaven, we see Christ and we're perfected. We're made more and more like him. That's the idea. And then we go on in this verse. I'll keep that illustration in mind because we're going to go on in this verse here. It says, it created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when a person makes a product, he makes it so it can do something. When I took all that refurbished wood and I took all that old wood and refurbished it into I made a coffee table because I needed a coffee table in my living room. I made a headboard because my bed needed a headboard. I made a little chest for Ella because I knew Ella would want to, you know, things like that. And when a person makes a product, he makes it so it can do something. So when Christ saved us and we accepted him, our purpose, our relationship is restored. Now we are prepared to walk in him, and these works are prepared. The only other time this word is used in the New Testament is Romans 9:23. We are vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared in the glory. When we were sinners, there was that bad part that kept us from doing what we're supposed to do. The unbeliever that doesn't know Christ walks according to the course of this world, but the believer in Christ walks in the good works that God has prepared for him, that the Holy Spirit is producing in him. That's an amazing statement. It means that God has a plan for our lives and that we should walk in him and fulfill his plan. That's the gracious plan of the loving Heavenly Father who wants the very best for us. The will of God comes from the heart of God. He ordained good works for me to walk in, so we don't put the cart before the horse. Salvation by grace through faith comes, then we are his workmanship. The purpose for your life has already been designed. You don't have to come up with it when you're in Christ. God has prepared ahead of time to do good works, equipped you with spiritual gifts to be the body of Christ and do what he wants you to do. He will give you the desire for them and the ability to pull them off, but you must live them out. Salvation is God's work, and we are the result of that work. His workmanship as products of what God's grace can do in people. I look around at people that I've seen saved, baptized, growing in Christ, serving in church, and I'm seeing what God's grace can do in people. Believers in Christ are God's work of art, his masterpiece. So they may walk about in good works. In fact, believers were created in Christ Jesus for that very purpose. Good works do not bring salvation to a person. They are the result of salvation. When it comes to salvation, think about this. God is crafting your life into a piece of art. He's working on you each and every day. The potter molding the clay and doing something with your life. You're being recreated, a new creation. to do good works for him, to be like Christ. Man, what a great verse. What a great key verse there in Ephesians. Well, that's all I have for you tonight. Looking forward to a good service this coming Sunday.